Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, and I trust that your year is off to a better start than theirs. I can't imagine starting that way, but some of us do. And it never looks like the picture, right? When you got the answer, it never looks like the picture. But anyway, I hope you had a great time with family and friends. You were surrounded by people who you love during these last this last week or so. But anyway, I don't know how many of you... Hold on, just a second. Shh. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? I think that's the sound of New Year's resolutions breaking. I'm not sure. I don't know how many of you make New Year's resolutions and you've got them broken already by the third. I don't know. But this, we're not talking about New Year's resolutions today, although I did hear one that I thought was kind of interesting. There was a woman who was resolving to spend more time with neglected children, her own, she said. It sounds like a woman who was kind of burning the candle at both ends. I also heard a prayer for 2016, and it went something like this. Dear God, I would like a fat bank account and a thin body. Don't turn it around like you did last year. So maybe some of us are resolving something along the lines of getting healthier or losing weight or whatever it might be, and maybe managing our money a little bit better. But again, we are not talking about New Year's resolutions as much as we are talking about habits. We're in a series that we're calling How To, and we are learning about habits that matter, habits that will make a difference in your life and in mine. If you were here with us last week, you heard Pastor Steve talking about how to start the year that matters, how to make the most of your new year. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, all you got to do is go to worcestergrace.org, click on our sermon archives, and you can catch up with that. Also, during this series on how to, again, we're talking about some very practical things that are really going to be helpful for us to establish a solid foundation for the coming year. And one of those things we're going to be talking about in the future is how to manage our money. We're going to talk about how to fight temptation. And we're going to be talking about how to hear God's voice. How do I know I am hearing from God? And so all those are still ahead for us. And I hope that you are looking forward, maybe forward to it and maybe inviting someone to join you for one of those weeks. Today we're talking about something that I'm really excited about because what we're talking about is something that was really transformational in my own life, and I know it will be transformational for yours if you put it into practice. If you take these things that we're talking about today, and you are serious about them, and you begin putting them into practice, it will transform your life. There's no doubt about it. And even if you feel like you're on pace on what we're going to be talking about, as you continue to do these, as we're going to be seeing, you're going to be seeing more and more of God's blessing in your life. And so what we're talking about today is how do I read the Bible? How is it that I study the Bible? And some of you are thinking, well, Dave, I already learned how to read. I learned to read in elementary school. I'm not talking about being able to read the words, although some of those names are a little challenging, I have to admit. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about how do I approach this thing called the Bible. What is my posture toward it? What is it that I need to be doing? Because let's be honest, if you're not real familiar with it, it can be a pretty intimidating book. There's a lot in here that you don't automatically understand. You might not even fully understand how it's put together, what the point of the book is. And so it can be pretty intimidating. But what I want to be sharing with you today is some fundamentals about how do I get started in reading my Bible and how do I make my Bible reading matter the most for me. I remember when my spiritual life really began taking off is when I began taking the Bible really seriously. And here's what it looked like for me is I began being in the Bible every day. God was communicating to me his truths, and I began highlighting some things. I began underlining some things. I began memorizing things. I was writing things in the margin about what God was communicating to me, about what my next step should be. And my life, my spiritual life, really began to take off. I began learning more about who God is, about who I am, about how I relate to him. I learned more about other people and how I relate to them. It just really made a big difference in my life, and it will make a big difference in yours as well. As I got really serious about being in this book and understanding the truths that were being revealed there for me, I gained a new perspective on life. I began understanding my intended purpose, and not only knowing my purpose, but how do I go about pursuing it? I started making better decisions. My character began getting more refined, and my life began to change. And it kept changing, and it is still changing today. Taking the Bible seriously will bring serious changes, positive changes in your life. And the more of the truths of this book become incorporated into your life, the more clearly you're going to think, the clearer your priorities will be, and the wiser you will become. You might have a Bible at home. You might have several Bibles at home, and they're stuck on a shelf somewhere. And maybe the only time you pull down your Bible is maybe to come to church on Sunday morning, or maybe you pulled it out on Christmas morning to read the Christmas story. But other than that, it's really not much a part of your life. Well, a Bible on a shelf is worthless. It's worthless. It has to become a part of your life. I know so many people who are claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but they are suffering from spiritual anorexia. They're suffering from spiritual malnutrition because they are not gaining in their lives and assimilating into their lives the essential qualities of the truths of God's word. Jesus understood the importance of the Bible to us when he said this. He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see that? Every word. You and I have to be intimately acquainted with every word of this book. That is a daunting task, but you've got to start somewhere, and that's what we'll be talking about this morning. Jesus understood the importance of the Bible for us and the transformational quality of the Bible. Now listen to me just for a second. Why is this important? Why are we pressing hard on that this morning? Why is this part of this series? Here's why. Because every self-defeating behavior begins with believing a lie. The self-defeating behaviors in your life begin with believing a lie. You might be believing a lie about yourself, about your worth. You might be believing a lie about your past or about your present or about your future. Lies that you just can't get past. You have bought into them and you have bought them hook, line, and sinker. And they're leading to self-defeating behaviors in your life. You may be believing a lie about who God is, about his love for you, about how you can relate to him. You might be believing lies about other people or about how you should be relating to them. You might be believing lies about how to manage your money or about how to take care of yourself physically. And when you buy into these lies, they lead to self-defeating behaviors in your life. Whenever I believe what the world says rather than what the word says, then I get caught up in this harmful behavior. The life that you are looking for, the life that I am looking for, is found down the pathway of truth. We need truth saturating our lives. And just because you come to church once a week on Sunday, and I'm glad you're here, I need it. I need to come to church every single week. I love coming and hearing what Pastor Bob and Pastor Nick have to communicate to us from this book. I love that. I need that course correction in my life every week. But that's not enough. That's not enough. If you think that you are going to grow spiritually, if you think you're going to understand what your next steps are to full devotion in Jesus Christ, if you're wondering how that's going to take place, it's not going to happen just on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is essential, but that's not the only place you need to be exposed to God's word. It's impossible to grow that way. You and I need truth every day in our lives. Truth will transform your life, nothing else. Truth will transform your life. Now, Jesus understood the importance of truth for our lives. On the night he was betrayed, the last night before his crucifixion on the cross, he was in a garden and he was praying to his Heavenly Father. And this is part of the prayer that he prayed to his Heavenly Father. Now remember, this is the night before he was crucified. This is the night he was betrayed. And these are some of the last words that he was speaking to his Heavenly Father. So you know that they were important to him. And this is what he said. He said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." What he's saying is, Father, I want you to saturate the people for whom I am dying. I want you to saturate their lives by truth and thereby set them apart for your purpose and for direction in their lives that they might honor you. And the only way that's going to happen in their lives is through the truth that you reveal to them. God has given us a gift in the Bible. It's truth about life. We learn the truth about God. We learn the truth about his love for us. We learn the truth about our need for him and how we can know him. We learn the truth about how to live for him, how to relate to him, how to relate to others. And Jesus said that this truth will transform your life. The life that you are looking for is a life that will be transformed by this truth. God will change your life through this book. So I need to read it, not ignore it. It needs to be in my hand, not on a shelf. It's got to be an active part of my life. But where do I start? How do I start this journey of knowing and understanding the truth that God has revealed to me? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. And here's your first step. This is something you've got to settle before anything else will matter. Here's what you got to do. Respect it. Respect it. Many people have gotten themselves in trouble because they're submitting themselves to other authorities in their life. We need to be accepting the scripture as our authority in life. What are some of the authorities that hold sway in our lives? Well, one of those is culture. Culture is an authority that holds sway in our life that we accept, that we fall under oftentimes. Culture sounds like this. Well, everybody else is doing it. If you're a parent, you've probably said it like this. Well, if Johnny jumped over a cliff, would you too? And that's the philosophy of the culture. Culture's a terrible authority. If everybody else is doing it, that's a terrible authority in life, because guess what? Most people overspend at Christmas. Does that mean you should? Does that mean you should go bankrupt at Christmas because everybody else does? I don't think so. That's a terrible authority. I was hearing this week on a radio show that the majority of Americans have only about $10,000 saved up at the time of retirement for the rest of their retirement years. Just because the majority of the U.S. isn't prepared, does that mean that you shouldn't try to get prepared yourself? Culture is a terrible authority. Another one is tradition. Tradition sounds like, well, we've always done it that way. That's just the way it's done. Well, things change. Things need to be done differently. Tradition will stagnate you if you're not careful. Things need to change. Reason. Reason is another authority. Reason sounds like this. Well, it seems logical. Have you watched Star Trek? Spock isn't always right, is he? Logic is good. It's helpful, but it's not always right. Emotion. Emotion sounds like this. Well, it feels right, so I'm going to do it. It just feels right. All right, how many of you parents have kids who are going to be teenagers or are teenagers, and you would give them this advice on their first date? Well, whatever feels right, you should do that. That's terrible. That's terrible advice. It's a terrible authority. You don't want your emotions to be your authority. All these sources of authority are flawed. They're not reliable. They shift. They change. They're incomplete. They're undependable. What you and I need is a reliable standard, something that has stood the test of time. We need authority that we can count on no matter the circumstances of our lives, no matter how we feel, no matter what the rest of culture is doing, no matter what everybody else is doing, and only God's word meets that criteria. Why? King Solomon said, every word of God is flawless. Every word of God is flawless. I need that. I don't know. I need that. I need to wake up every morning. I need with every decision. I need with every choice. I need to be able to know that I can count on the wisdom that this book provides for me to make the right decision. I have to count on that. I am counting on the fact that every word of God is flawless. I settled this issue a long, long time ago in my life. I tell people that I wake up every morning with a wisdom deficit. I don't have what it takes to navigate through my life in a wise and a meaningful and a fruitful way on my own. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I mean, how in the world can I possibly be prepared for the unexpected that will be coming into my life? If you're a parent, how in the world are you going to be up to the task? I mean, seriously, up to the task of raising your children. Because see, the purpose of parenting is not perseverance. It's not just to get to the other side. The purpose of parenting is to prepare these young lives for an unknown future. Who's up to that task? We need wisdom that comes from beyond us. We need to settle this issue in your life. I look around me and I see so many people whose lives are derailed because they're influenced by the wrong authorities and the wrong philosophies in their life. You know, anybody can be right some of the time. But only God is right all the time. Why? Because every word of God is flawless. The most important decision that you can make today is to establish who or what is going to be your authority. When you have a decision, you need to settle the issue right now. You're going to say, "What? I wonder what the Bible has to say about this decision." When you need advice, when you need counseling, determine that you're going to be going here rather than out there somewhere. Settle this issue in your life right now that this will be your ultimate authority. Why? Because every word of God is flawless. If you don't respect it, you won't consult it. First step, respect it. Second, know it. Know it. It's not enough just to believe the Bible. I have to fill my mind with it. Let me give you three words that will help you learn how to know the content of the Bible better. Three words. One is read. The second is reflect. And the third is remember. Read, reflect, and remember. I've talked to so many people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ and claim to believe the Bible from cover to cover, but they've never read it cover to cover. Many, maybe even a majority of people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are more committed to reading their favorite blog or their social media feed than they are to reading the Bible, in which is the wisdom of God. It's no wonder we don't grow. You can't watch TV or YouTube or play on your gaming station for 2 to 3 hours a day or night and then spend 2 to 3 minutes in the Bible and expect to grow. That ain't happening. That's fantasy land. That's never going to happen. We need to give more attention and time to the Bible. Did you know, think about this, if you were to just to cut 30 minutes out of your media entertainment, just 30 minutes, you would be able to read through the Bible twice in 1 year. Just 30 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day will allow you to read through the Bible once in a year. Why is this important? Because daily Bible reading keeps you in the range of God's voice. That's why I need a Bible reading plan. Without a plan, you will fail. I talk to people about this all the time. People come to me and say, "Man, I'm really struggling. You know, being in the Bible." I say, "Do you have a plan?" "Nope." That's it. That's the problem. You have to have a plan. Without a plan, you are going to fail. And we can help you here. At Grace, we can help you here. And so we're going to give you some recommendations. At the end of our time here, we're going to let you know about how you can get hooked up with your own reading plan. First word, if I'm going to know God's word, first word is read. The second is reflect. I wonder how many of you are worriers. And you might not characterize yourself as a worrier. It might not be like a consistent pattern in your life. But you've probably, chances are, if you're a human being, you've worried about something at some point. If you know how to worry, you already know how to reflect. Because worrying is just focused attention on something that's negative. Reflection, as we're talking about it, is focused attention on something that's positive, focused attention on the truths of God's word. I like how James, who is Jesus' half-brother, I like how he said it. This is what he said. He said, but whoever looks intently, do you see those words? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, their lives will be blessed. They will be blessed in all they do. You see those words? Look intently. That's the image of that is actually a posture. It's like looking over, looking intently into something, leaning into. That's probably what we would be saying today if we were writing this. We'd probably say the person who looks intently, the person who leans into God's truth with an effort to understand and to know and to become acquainted with. The person who leans into, the person who looks intently, ultimately, James says, they will be blessed in all they do. Reflecting is a very important part of our Bible reading. Here's what I like to tell people. I like to tell people to be an active reader. Be an active reader, not a passive reader. And because this is a really practical series that we're doing, I thought I would show you a little bit about how I try to be an active reader. And this is part of what really revolutionized my own spiritual life. And so here's a typical page of my Bible. And I can show you others, but this is a typical page of it. And you'll notice that I try to be a really active reader. And so I'll be highlighting passages that where God is talking to me. Not just something that I think sounds important, but something that, hey, God is communicating something to me here. And I want to remember where that is. I want to reflect on that more. And so oftentimes I'll highlight that passage. And then there's sometimes I'll underline something else for some greater emphasis that, man, God is really focusing my attention right here. Or there might be words that I will underline or that I will circle that I need to know more about that will kind of give me more insight in that passage. Maybe something I need to be reflecting on more. And then here's the last thing I'll do is I'll write down what God is communicating to me? What's he teaching me? And so I'll write that down in a margin, just a note, just a word, maybe a sentence that puts into my own words some of the things that God is communicating to me so that when I come back through that passage again, I can reflect back on what God was communicating to me then and maybe something new this next time around. Be an active reader. That will help you to reflect. So I need to read. I need to reflect, and then I need to remember. I need to remember. This will help me to know the truths of God's word. You know, God has given us an incredible capacity in our brains to remember. And now, oftentimes, we will blame age. You know, as we get older, we kind of blame age. Well, I can't remember like I used to. I can't memorize like I used to. Or yeah, we'll blame our smartphones. Well, everything, my whole life is on my smartphone. I don't remember anything. So I have a lot of trouble remembering because of this doggone technology, blah, blah, blah. You know, hogwash. You can remember. Your mind is filled with thousands, millions of ideas and truths and numbers and passwords. I mean, how many passwords you had to come up? But you got to remember them if you're going to get back in. You can remember them. Memory is not as much about capacity as it is importance. The reason I remember my wife's birthday and not yours is because hers is more important. No disrespect to you. I can't forget that one, all right? It's not as much about capacity as it is importance. The fact is, we do remember what's important to us. Your memory and my memory is like a muscle. The more I work it, the stronger it becomes. There is tremendous benefit to memorizing God's word. It helps you resist temptation, which we're going to be talking about later in this series. It will help you make wise decisions, reduce stress. It will help build confidence in you. When someone comes to you asking for advice, it allows you to give sound advice. Why? Because you're repeating to them the wisdom of the scripture. And it's actually helpful to them, and they can count on it. Let's go back to James' instruction for us. This is what he says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting, you see that? Not forgetting what they have read, but doing it, what's on the other side of it. And they will be blessed in all they do. Part of having the favor of God on your life and worked out through your life is memorizing and remembering what God has said. How do I become better acquainted with the scriptures? How do I know it? How do I begin to know it better? Read, reflect, and remember. That leads us to the third step. That's live it. Live it. I not only need to respect it and know it, but I need to live it. This is why so many New Year's resolutions are broken, isn't it? We know what we want to do, and we know what we think we should do, and we know what we want to do, but we just like never get around to doing it. How many people, maybe yourself included, decide you're just going to get in better shape, you're going to get healthier, you know, for the new year, and but you just like never get around to changing your diet and being involved with the physical activity you need to. It just never get around, and so your life doesn't change. Your spiritual or your physical life doesn't change. I wonder how many people have said that they want to be a better manager of their time. I want to redeem my time more, but we could never get around to turning off the TV or to not watch that movie or to stop playing, you know, Xbox or PlayStation or whatever it might be, you know, Netflix, and we were binge watching and all, and we just never get around to turning it off and redeeming that time. How many of us make a decision that we want to be better managers of our money, but we just never get around to drafting a budget, or if we do, we celebrate that success, but then we never allow that budget to guide our spending. And so there's no transformation. There's no change in the way we handle our money. Our lives tend to be so long on promise and so short on delivery. Well, reading and reflecting and remembering God's word is worthless. It's worthless if it's not lived out through your life. Why? Because that's what James said. He said, the person who is blessed in all they do is someone who doesn't forget what God has said and does it. Not forgetting, but doing, he will be blessed in all he does. We fool ourselves if we assume that just because we have heard or read or studied the Bible, that somehow we have internalized its truths. Friend, you and I have not internalized the truth until it makes a difference in how we live. Until we start seeing real change in our lives, and we get determined to put into practice what we are learning. You can read through the Bible twice a year. You can highlight all the passages you want. You can underline words, you can circle words, you can write notes in the margin, you can do all of that. And I advocate doing that. But if it stops there and does not make its way into the transformation of your heart in the way you live, you won't grow. You're not growing. So Jesus understood the importance of this, and so he tells a story. He tells a story about two types of people. He talks about a wise man who hears his words and puts them into practice. Then he talks about a foolish man who hears his words but doesn't put them into practice. And this is what he says. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against the house. But what happened? It did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. You and I will only have a strong foundation for our lives if we both know and do what Jesus has revealed for us to do. In other words, if you have spent your entire life putting into practice the scriptural teaching of marriage and family and relationships and money and work ethic and how to take care of yourself physically, then when the storms of life come, they might beat against your life and you might take a hit and it might get uncomfortable. But your life will stand strong because it's built on the solid foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ, where we are learning what he has to say and we are putting it into practice in our lives. But then Jesus goes on to talk about another man, the foolish man. And here's what he says. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams came up, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Of course, you see the contrast, don't you? Jesus is saying that if all we do is know what he says, believe me, I've had people come to me, and they'll talk to me about something going on. I know what Jesus says. What's the next word? But, well, that's the problem. That's the problem. The foolish man is someone who knows what Jesus says but doesn't put it into practice in their lives, and they don't have a sure foundation. They have a changing and a shifting foundation built upon what Jesus described as the sand. Now, the fact is, most of us in this room are not just one or the other. We're not just only on the rock or only on the sand. For many of us, our lives are a mixed foundation. Where we got it going on. We got stuff happening with part of our lives where we are taking in God's truth. We're convinced of it. It becomes our authority in our life in this particular area. And we're putting in the practice. And man, it's rock solid. But then there are those other parts of our life. And you know what I'm talking about. Those other parts of our lives where we know what Jesus says about something, but we are not putting them into practice. And Jesus says you are on a shaky foundation in that part of your life. And guess what happens when you have a foundation that is both rock and sand? When the storm comes, what happens? The sand erodes. And when the sand erodes, the foundation collapses. You might be rock solid financially. You might be honoring God with your wealth, as the scripture says, but your marriage is hanging by a thread because you and your wife or you and your husband are not treating one another as Jesus has revealed for us to behave with one another in our relationship in marriage. And then when the storms of life come, guess what erodes away? It's the part that's built on the sand. And I don't care how much money you've got, your life is coming down. You might be faithful in service. You might be faithful in attendance at church, which is great. But you don't make any effort to manage your emotions, to refine your character, to bridle your tongue. Maybe you're a gossip, or maybe you have a tendency to tell white lies. Guess what happens? You can be rock solid in one area of your life, but you might have another part that's shifting sand. And when the storms of life come, guess what happens? The storm erodes away the sand, and the foundation of your life collapses. That's why, friends, that's why we need to be exposed to this and the truths of this word every single day. Why? Because we have to keep learning. What is God revealing to me, and how do I put it into practice? Because every time, listen to me, every time you take something that where you are at one time were disobedient, and God reveals to you what he wants for your life, and then you begin putting it into practice, guess what happens? You just changed sand into rock. Because the wise man is the one who hears the words and puts them into practice. And when he does, he's building a foundation on the rock. 80% compliance over the long haul is a recipe for disaster. Jesus calls us to full devotion to him. So where do I go from here? What's my next step? At Grace, we always believe there's a next step. Well, let me give you two very simple ones, all right? Two very simple ones. The first one is this: adopt a Bible reading plan. Get a Bible reading plan. If you don't have a plan, you will fail. We can help you here, and here's how we can help. There's a few options for you. One, we've talked about it many times here before, and that is to subscribe to an email that will come to your email inbox called Every Day with God. That email will have in it a suggested Bible reading that you would read, and then it has some reflections that are written on that passage, as well as some suggestions about how to put it into practice in your life, every day with God. If you take this response card and you just write in every day with God in the white portion of the response card, you will begin receiving that email next week. But we have some other options for you that I want you to know about, and they're out at the table in the lobby. You can pick them up, or you can also download them and print them out at home by going to our website, worcestergrace.org, clicking on the Next Steps main menu item. In that drop-down menu, just click on Read Your Bible, and then these plans will be available to you, all right? And just let me acquaint you with them just a little bit. This blue one is a good place to start. If you don't have any traction at all, or you're trying to gain traction in your Bible reading, this is a good place to start. This one is Reading Through the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in 45 days, okay? It's a good place to start getting traction. There's another one, this green one, that's about reading through the New Testament, the entire New Testament, Matthew through Revelation in 90 days. Now remember, 15 minutes a day is all it takes. So those are two good options if you're looking to gain some traction in this area of your life. If you're looking to kind of skip the stone across the pages of Scripture and find those essential passages that will kind of acquaint you with the whole of Scripture, you won't be reading every word of the Scripture. You'll be reading selected passages of them to kind of give you an overview of it. This yellow reading plan is a good one for you because it has 100 essential Scriptures from the Old Testament and the New Testament throughout the entire Bible that will give you a good acquaintance with that. So that's a 100-day plan. All right? And then the last one, for those of you who might be journeymen and you're ready to take on the task right away of reading through the entire Bible in 1 year, this gray card has that plan for you, and it's a passage every day that after the entire year, you will have read through the whole Bible, all right? And so those plans are available out in the lobby, and you can also get them at our website. So adopt a Bible reading plan. Without a plan, you're going to fail. Second step, write down what you'll do. After you read what you're reading that day, ask God, what have I learned about you? What have I learned about me? What changes need to be brought into my life and how I relate to you, how I relate to others? There's always going to be something to do based upon something you read. And so just write that down. You might want to write it in the margin of your Bible like I have done, or you might have a little notebook where you just write down a sentence or two about what you are going to be doing with what you have been reading and then begin putting that into practice in your life. Now, I believe all that. All that is fine and good. I do it myself. I love it. Strongly recommend that to you. But there's something I don't want us all to miss here, all right? And it's this. The purpose of this book is to reveal who Jesus is. If you are reading the Bible every day and you're not becoming better acquainted with who Jesus is and how he relates to your life, you're missing it. You're missing it. Jesus said himself, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." God has given us the Bible. Why? So we can know him. And this is what it says about how we can know him. The scripture says that you and I were created by him and for him. We were created uniquely to have a relationship with God. The problem is that sin has come into our lives and it separates us in our relationship with him. The scripture says that your iniquities have separated you from God. And we know what that looks like. It's lying, it's lust, it's cheating, it's all those things that we're very familiar with that have been a part of our life at some point or another, and that separates us from God. But the good news is that it's a relationship we can have because of Jesus. The penalty for our wrongdoing against a holy God is the death penalty. And the scripture tells us that Jesus came and served that penalty for us in our place. Matter of fact, the scripture says the righteous, that is Jesus, died for the unrighteous, that's you and me, to bring us to God. But that is a decision that you have to choose to have. You have to trust in the fact that Jesus died in your place and that you have forgiveness in him and that through Jesus, you will have a relationship with God. In a moment, I'm going to be praying. If that's where you are, if your next step is to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ, on your response card right here as I pray, I just want you to draw a cross right there in that white box. Because if you want a sure foundation for your life, you're going to have to put Jesus there. Here's something else I want you to understand. You might be looking back on your life with a lot of regret. You're saying, man, I have been building my life on the sand. I've been following all the wrong authorities. I've been following all the wrong philosophies of life. I've been building my life on the sand. Let me encourage you with something. Beginning today, start turning some sand into rock. Learn what Jesus has to say about your life. Be determined to put it into practice. And with every step of obedience, you're turning more sand into rock. And you will become the wise man or the wise woman that Jesus was talking about, who built his house on the rock. Don't look at your past with regret. Jesus has made it possible to look at your future with hope. Turn some sand into rock. Every time you say, this time I'm going to do it God's way, you're turning more sand into rock. Respect the authority of God's word. Know it by reading it, reflecting on it, and remembering it, and then live it. But do me a favor, will you? Don't make Bible reading merely a resolution. Make it your lifestyle. Your life is depending on it. Why don't you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this is a decision time for all of us, me included. Who or what will be my authority today? Who or what will be my authority throughout the year? When I have a decision to make, when I have a choice to make, when I need wisdom, when I need counsel, where will I get my authority? May we, Lord, build our lives on the rock. For those of you who are making a commitment today to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you're saying, I am going to place my faith and my trust in Jesus for my forgiveness. Just draw a cross on your response card in that white box. That will let me know that you're looking to take your next step, and we can help you take that next step toward fuller devotion to Him. Lord, guide us and lead us. May we be men and women who build our lives on the rock. In Jesus' name.